Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, let's talk some trade deadline. Naz Reid continues to be a name that comes up in trade discussions, a target for other teams. Will the Wolves ultimately trade him? I don't think they will. I'll tell you why. Plus, a look at Jalen Nowell, his on-off numbers, some of his best and worst lineup pairings. He had almost a historically amazing plus-minus on Sunday. So I wanted to dive into those numbers a bit more. Plus, we'll look at the Western Conference standings and Wolves Nuggets, the matchup for Tuesday night. It's all upcoming. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. The Wolves are in Denver after a six-game homestand. The Wolves are in Denver on the road to take on the Nuggets Tuesday night. We will preview that matchup here at the end of the game, or at the end of the podcast, excuse me, today. A lot to get to first, though. The very first thing, however, is a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, this Thursday, 2 days from now, is the NBA trade deadline. Of course, we already saw the massive Kyrie Irving trade over the weekend. Actually, didn't get finalized till Monday, but that's done. It's in the books. Will we see a flurry of activity before Tuesday the 8th in the afternoon? I think it's, what's the actual deadline? 3 p.m. Central, I believe. The Timberwolves, of course, we've talked about this before the show, don't have a ton of tradable players that they're going to trade. We know the guys they're not going to trade. We know the guys they really can't trade. Without rehashing all that, I've done it a couple times on the show previously. It's basically Naz Reid, Jalen Nowell. That's kind of it. I mean, like, unless you think, well, and D'Angelo Russell, of course, but I'd be surprised at this point if D'Angelo Russell was traded. So those are really kind of the three. You know, there's teams, of course, it keeps coming up that teams are interested in Kyle Anderson. The Wolves are not trading Kyle Anderson. He would be the only other, Torian Prince would be, I guess, the other one. But like those guys mean too much to the Timberwolves rotation. And I mean, we've seen how much the Wolves will struggle when both those guys have gotten hurt this season. So those guys aren't going anywhere. It's really Naz, Jalen Nowell, and D'Lo are the only guys that are potentially going to be, could be traded, realistically. Now, D'Lo's been playing better. So we've talked, last week we spent some time talking about how it's less likely he's traded because he's playing so much better than he had been. And also teams like, what are you going to give up for less than a half season of D'Angelo Russell? He's an expiring contract or a free agent this offseason. The Wolves have to trade him to recoup the, take back some salary to recoup any of that cap space. If they let him walk, they don't just get the $31 million or whatever it is. So long story short, if the Wolves are going to get any assets for D'Lo and don't plan to extend him, they need to trade him now, right? Because you don't even get the cap space, you know, this summer if you let him walk. I still don't think he's moved. So I want to focus a little on Naz Reid. He's been in the news even more because he continues to play well and teams covet Naz Reid. Of course, he's also a free agent this summer. His contract is modest. It's, $2 million and some change because he signed that partially guaranteed undrafted rookie deal. Actually, the same deal that Jalen Nowell signed. Nowell was a second-round pick. Naz Reid was undrafted. They signed identical deals. Gerson Rosas did this. And both players look like bargains right now. Nowell's obviously a bit more volatile. We'll talk more about him actually next segment. But Naz is a complete bargain right now. And that's part of the problem here, because you really can't take salary back for him because he doesn't make enough money to get back any pieces that are useful. So you're essentially trading him for likely a vet minimum type guy, maybe a rookie second year guy with some upside potentially. But then it's also picks. And of course, the Wolves have put themselves in a position where they have to listen. If somebody, say somebody offers a first rounder and a young player for Naz Reid, that's not going to happen. But say that happens, you have to listen to anything involving picks because the Wolves are so the cupboard is completely bare in terms of first round picks. Owed, obviously, due to the Rudy Gobert trade. So it's on the table that Nas could be traded. I've been saying I don't think the Wolves trade him, mostly because for the reason I already stated, like, what are you getting back in terms of actual tangible NBA talent? And you look at the likes of, Towns and Gobert have both been banged up. Towns, of course, has been out for, we're over 2 months now since the last week of November. So why would you trade, like, if you're sitting in the seventh spot in the West, which as of this exact moment, the Wolves are, although by the time I'm done recording this podcast, based on current scores of games that are happening right now, they may be ninth in the West. We'll talk more about that later too. Like, the Wolves aren't going to trade their most important depth piece right now for a couple of second round picks. It just doesn't make sense. They'd be better served to hang on to him and try and extend him, which they're trying to do. Or let him walk in the offseason and just kind of see what happens the rest of this year, right? So Jake Fisher of Yahoo has a trade article. The headline's actually Lakers still exploring ways to improve with potential Russell Westbrook deal. And he goes through a host of NBA rumors. And then the last point he makes is about reserve big men who could be available. And he lists Jakob Poeltl, of course, with the Spurs. He lists backups like Serge Ibaka, Andre Drummond, Rashawn Holmes, Mo Bamba, who we just saw with the Magic, Jackson Hayes, Nerlens Noel. And then he says the name to keep an eye on most may be Timberwolves center Naz Reid, who has declined varied contract extension offers from Minnesota, sources told Yahoo Sports, and is said to be seeking salary in the ballpark of $10 million next season. Side note, that's perfectly reasonable for Naz Reid. Fisher also says, well, the Wolves have clearly shown interest in retaining Reid. Minnesota already has a mountain of money committed to Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. Plus, the Wolves seem unlikely to be able to afford both Reid and guard Jalen Noel at the price points each player desires. Before the season, I would have told you unequivocally that Jalen Noel would be the player to get an extension over Naz Reid. I was all about trading Naz Reid for a pair of second-round picks in the offseason. I thought it was going to happen. I spent a lot of time talking about it, about how, like, hey, you've got Gobert, you've got Towns, and I like Nate Knight a lot. Like, I thought Knight could be a legit third big, and I think, you know, Noel, we'll talk more about him in a minute, but he did so much last year, was so good when he was on the floor with Karl-Anthony Towns. And Finch talked about this too, that part of why they were okay with trading Malik Beasley and okay with trading Patrick Beverley is because Jalen Noel had earned a bigger role. So I would have told you, certainly Naz Reid's going to be gone, whether it's traded before the season, by the deadline, and Jalen Noel signs the extension. Now it's exactly flipped. I don't think Noel's going to get traded because I don't think anyone's really going to give anything up for him, and the Wolves would need to get back some guard depth, especially now at this, you know, I guess McLaughlin's back, so it would soften the blow a bit, but I don't think they're just going to ship off Jalen Noel to ship off Jalen Noel. So I don't know that either one of them gets traded, but Naz is the one who's earned the extension this year. He's played far better than Jalen Noel has, at least more consistently than Jalen Noel has. So to Fisher's point, I get why Naz is declining extension offers, because he just as soon hit the market and get paid more and maybe get a starting role, you know, on insert team here. That's a potential playoff contender that needs a big, right? Now, if the Wolves find a way, and I haven't done like all the calculated out the salary cap math fully here, but like if they could give him somewhere near $10 million a year, that's not bad for a third big. Like that's a pretty reasonable. I mean, remember how much money Gorgui Dieng got paid? And I know at the time he started a full season next to Towns, but like, and that was a different time. But go through the league, like how many third bigs are still getting paid in the neighborhood of $10 million? And Naz is better than some of those guys. A versatile big who's still improving, who's remade his body and shown that commitment. A big who's that nimble on his feet and that good of a ball handler, that good of a finisher around the rim, the ability to stretch the floor even if it's inconsistent. Like, there's shortcomings, certainly. And I'll be the first to raise my hand and complain about Naz's rebounding issues. He's been much better this year, but the track record for rebounding isn't great. The defensive consistency is not great. For as nimble as he is offensively with the ball in his hands, that doesn't always show through defensively. But for a third big, for around $10 million a year, that's like, Naz is great. So I would try and extend him if it's really in that ballpark. If I'm the Wolves, I don't think they trade him. and I've been on record now for weeks saying I don't think the Wolves make a deal. The only pot, I think if they make a deal, my prediction is it's a Jalen Noel for a second rounder deal to a team that's trying to strike lightning in a bottle, you know, a borderline playoff team that maybe can give Noel more consistent minutes, because the thought is he's a volume scorer. Maybe he gets hot for weeks at a time. And like, and of course he wants that opportunity too, to try and get the bag this offseason when he becomes a free agent. So I think that's, if the Wolves make a trade, it's that trade. I don't think D'Lo's moved. I don't think Naz has moved. I don't think you can take back requisite value for Naz Reid. And I understand the thought process behind, if you let Naz walk for nothing this offseason, look what, you know, you've let him walk for nothing. Get what you can for him now. I understand that mindset, but the Wolves are still a playoff team. They're going to be in the play-in or the playoffs this year. And there's still a pretty high ceiling for this team when Karl Anthony Towns returns. We've started to see glimpses of that even without him not on the floor. So I don't think the Wolves, and this is partially my reasoning for D'Lo too, I don't think you rock the boat. I know these guys are expiring, but like, just see how this thing plays out. There's been so much turnover in this organization over the past forever, years. Like, just see how things play out this year. It's not like you can afford to just give up big man depth either, given the way that things have gone injury and foul trouble wise for the Wolves. Like, see how important, I mean, Nate Knight and Luka Garza have each had massive games that have helped the Wolves win too. And these guys are supposed to be fourth and fifth bigs on this team. So I would be surprised if Naz was moved. I would be surprised if D'Lo was moved. I'd be moderately surprised if Jalen Noel's moved. I don't think the Wolves make a deal at all in the next 2 days. And perhaps I'm wrong, but we'll see. All right, I want to talk Jalen Noel next. I want to talk a little bit about his some of the advanced metrics and go, you know, go layer deep on Noel, his on-off lineup pairings, etc. to this point in the season. So we're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you have to try Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me, where you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then I've got just the thing for you. You have to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious you won't think they're good for you. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution, which hopefully you're still hanging on to a week into February here. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about here on Locked On Wolves, ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. Also, if you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with their hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. Just make sure that you thank me later. The NBA trade deadline is this Thursday, and Locked On has you covered this Thursday, February 9th. Tune into, I've been saying February 8th, haven't I? February 9th. Tune into Locked On NBA on YouTube at 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, to hear reaction from the trades that will change the rest of the NBA season, who becomes contenders, and who's tanking for better futures. Subscribe to Locked On NBA on YouTube, and don't miss a deal. All right, let's talk Jalen Noel. So what spurred this and why I wanted to cover it today is that just on Sunday in the Wolves-Nuggets game, Jalen Noel had a really weird box score line. He was a plus 35 in, I'm going to pull it up here, I think it was just like 27 minutes or something crazy. Yeah, I was right. Plus 35 in 27 minutes on Sunday against the Nuggets. Now, all the caveats apply to this, and this is why I wanted to dig into it a bit further, because individual player, individual game, box score plus minus is very noisy. There's so many factors that play into it. And I think it can be very misleading. Sometimes it can help paint a picture, and other times it's very misleading. I thought Noel played really well on Sunday. Nobody else on the Wolves was greater than a plus 23. So he was 12 points better than any other Timberwolves player. In a game they won by 30, he had a plus 35 plus minus. He shot 6 of 10, had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, no turnovers, 16 points on 10 shots. The whole thing was good for Jalen Noel. So I wanted to dig a layer deeper. And Marnie Gellner had mentioned on the postcast after the game that Chris Finch has been asked before about some of Noel's advanced metrics and some of the plus minus numbers around Noel and why they look the way that they do. And he basically said, yeah, I can't figure it out. Like, we've looked into the numbers. We can't really figure out why some of these things are, you know, look so positive for Noel. So I dug into the publicly available numbers. I'm sure not exactly the same things that the Timberwolves front office is looking at, coaching staff is looking at, but it's really a mixed bag. Like you can find, usually there's some sort of consistency, right? If you look at a few different advanced metrics, if you look at some different peripheral numbers, you know, rate-based stats, you can kind of come up with a story for a given player and decide like what works, what doesn't, what's he good at, what's he struggling with, is the team really better with him on the floor, what kind of matchups are better for him. Noel's a really tough one. So I want to lay out a couple of things I noticed. First of all, the on-off numbers. So there's a few different places you can get these. At Basketball Reference, they have the plus-minus, they have the on-court plus-minus per 100 possessions. Noel's one of only, I'm going to take out Josh Minot because he's played such limited games. He's one of only 8 Timberwolves players that have a positive on-court. By the way, Rudy, D'Lo, and Kat all have negative on-courts. Now, early in the season, that starting lineup really struggled. That's a big reason for that. Jordan McLaughlin, of course, has the best on, and that's a plus 15.4. Matt Ryan, interestingly, is next best. Luka Garza, Kyle Anderson, Jaden McDaniels, Torian Prince, Anthony Edwards. Jalen Noel is the 8th and final of those 8 that have a positive on court, a plus 0.5. So it's fine. It's better than you'd expect, actually, if you look at some of the other metrics. Like, for instance, win shares, which is certainly a, like most metrics, it's flawed, right? There's a lot of issues with win shares. It's not perfect, but it's kind of a quick and dirty method of like, hey, has this guy been effective? And it generally is, you know, it's a pretty good indicator of whether or not a player is a rotation guy, right? So like, if you're not familiar with win shares per 48, you go check it out on Basketball Reference. If you're a 0.100 or higher, a 0.1 or higher, you're generally considered a starting caliber player. Again, there's other factors that play into it. Like, for instance, what's a good example? Well, obviously, like, small sample, like Josh Minot right now has the Wolves' best mark. It's like in Nikola Jokic range. It's over 300. He's played in 8 games, 21 minutes, right? Garza has the next best. He's still played a relatively small sample. Also, win shares tends to, I would say, overrate bigs because it weights rebounding so heavily. All that to say, go on down the list. Jalen Noel is actually the worst Timberwolves player that plays regularly. He only is, his win shares per 48 is only better than Wendell Moore Jr., who's played in 21 games, and Bryn Forbes, who has really struggled in 23 games. Noel's a 0.048, which would be basically a deep bench player if you take the general win share scale, right? So not a rotation guy. Like, again, quick and dirty. There's noise. It's noisy in some senses. Not a perfect metric, but it does not like what Jalen Noel has done so far this season. Another example of that is NBA Real Plus, or excuse me, ESPN's Real Plus Minus, which I really like. I think this is the best all-encompassing, like, single metric because it tries to cut through some of that noise. It tries to isolate a player's on-court impact regardless of the possessions, or excuse me, the opponents that they're playing these possessions with, right? It tries to do that. And I think it does generally a pretty good job. Like, if you go through and look at, like, here, I'll do this real quick. Like, the best Real Plus Minus is league-wide total. Any position tracks with the best players in the league. And maybe not in the exact order, but, like, it's going to be close. So Jason Tatum is number 1 in Real Plus Minus. Luka's number 2. Joel Embiid, number 3. LeBron, 4. And Jokic, 5. Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Jaren Jackson Jr. Giannis is next. Like, it's pretty close to, like, you're talking about each of those guys. You could make an argument for being maybe not Jaren Jackson Jr., but a top 10 player in the league, right? So it's a pretty decent measuring stick. So it also is broken down into offensive real plus minus and defensive real plus minus. And if you go to shooting guards and you look at defensive real plus minus, there are 92 players ranked that have played shooting guard according to ESPN so far this season. Jalen Noel is 91st in defensive real plus minus. The only player worse than him is Malik Monk of the Sacramento Kings in defensive real plus minus. He's a minus 5.29. Another, basically what that means is not basically, this is what it means. That's his estimated on-court impact on the team's defensive performance in points allowed per 100 defensive possessions. So Noel himself, if he played 100 defensive possessions, would cause the Wolves to give up almost 5 1/3, more than 5 1/4 points per those 100 possessions. That's really, really bad. Again, not perfect. None of these things are meant to be taken by themselves. They all need context, right? And now he's been good offensively, right? So the overall real plus minus, he's actually pretty middle of the pack in terms of, well, I guess he's a little closer to the bottom. He's 70th out of, 92 shooting guards in the NBA in overall real plus minus. He's in the territory of Shake Milton with the Sixers, Seth Curry with Brooklyn, Benedict Mathurin, the exciting rookie with the Pacers. I like him a lot. That's the neighborhood that he's in terms of his on-court impact, according to Real Plus Minus. In terms of two-man pairings, this is where things, the picture starts to get a little prettier. His number one two-man pairing, in terms of minutes played, is Anthony Edwards, a plus 6.8 in 589 minutes played this season. So Ant and Jalen Noel have played nearly 600 minutes together this season, which I should also say, like, if we're just talking about the Wolves as a team, I'm going to pull up the full list here. That is, let's see, that's like in the top 10 two-man lineups total in terms of minutes played this season for the Wolves. Here it is. It is... it's 12th. 12th in minutes played in terms of pairings. Noel and Anthony Edwards, a plus 6.8 in 589 minutes. His other positive pairings, Jaden McDaniels, a plus 6.9. Kyle Anderson, a plus 5. Torian Prince, a plus 2.7. And in only 160 minutes, Karl-Anthony Towns, a plus 9.3, which would be his second best next to Jordan McLaughlin, who's a 15.9 in limited minutes. The J-Mac thing's not a surprise because everybody, J-Mac has just great on-off and plus-minus numbers. So what does this say? Well, Noel plays best with generally bench players. I mean, Torian Prince, Kyle Anderson, who I know he's been starting, and then also the Wolves' best players. His D'Lo number and his Rudy Gobert number are both negative. So like I said at the top of the segment, it's tough to parse this, right? I think, and going back to last year, so I've talked about this extensively on the show. I did almost a whole show on Jalen Noel in the fall. I think I did do a whole show on him. And I talked about last season, the Wolves' best two-man pairing was Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Noel, among guys who actually played a significant number of minutes together. They played 398 minutes together. They were the Timberwolves' best two-man pairing, Jalen Noel and Karl-Anthony Towns. They were a plus 12.4 in 398 minutes. And the Wolves' second best two-man pairing was Jalen Noel and Malik Beasley. Noel was really good offensively. Catch and shoot numbers were great. He was looking for his shot a bunch. He initiated some offense last year. He did all those things well. And I thought the Cat and Jalen Noel pick and roll was very good. We saw that early this season. Noel played very well at the start of the season. Around the time Cat got hurt is kind of when we saw Noel's season tank. I think the Noel-Cat pairing is something to keep an eye out, assuming Noel's not traded and assuming Cat comes back in the next few weeks. I think that could be a really important pairing to keep an eye on down the stretch this season, because Chris Finch can stagger his rotation so that Cat is playing with Jalen Noel more frequently. And I think that would be really, really smart. Again, Cat and Noel, a plus 9.3. Noel and Rudy, a negative 3.3. That's a 12-point swing. Now, he's played a lot more minutes with Rudy Gobert, including all the minutes he struggled, but which comes first, right? The chicken or the egg? Is that number really bad because the pairing with Rudy's been really bad, or over the course of these minutes, or is there other stuff going on there? So the Noel thing is really, really strange. I think he's struggled mightily of late. Other than obviously the really strong plus minus, the really strong game overall on Sunday. But I don't know. I don't really know what to make of. And Chris Finch said as much too, as Marnie said on the postcast on Sunday. It's been a really weird year for Jalen Noel. The Wolves can't really figure out what this means in terms of his best lineup pairings, et cetera, other than he plays really well. And this is me talking, not Chris Finch. He plays really well with Karl-Anthony Towns. And he's also paired really well with Ant both last year and this year. So I guess the moral of the story is play your bench guys with your starters as much as you can, because by definition, your starters should be your best players. But Noel does play better with good players around him. And I think a big reason for that is he's more likely to defer to them and maybe not be the one who's always shooting the ball, which allows defenses to not key in on him. Because when Noel's in with a bench unit, opposing defenses key in on Jalen Noel because they know he's likely going to be the one to shoot it. Because he feels that weight. He wants to be that microwave guy off the bench, that microwave scorer. And teams can really key in on him. But when he plays with more talent around him, that doesn't happen quite as much. So anyway, Noel and Kat down the stretch of the season, that's a pairing that I think we should really keep an eye on here moving forward. All right, let's close the show here today by talking about the Wolves-Nuggets matchup and also the Western Conference standings. We're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our title sponsors at Prize Picks. On Tuesday night against the Nuggets, I would take Nikola Jokic rebounds over against the Timberwolves. I mean, you can root for the Timberwolves, but take the Jokic over on rebounds. The Wolves struggle to rebound the ball defensively. Jokic has had a couple days off. He rebounds the ball well against the Wolves and also in general, so I would take the over there. If you're not familiar with Prize Picks, it's super easy to use. You just pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people either. It's just you versus the projections available. They offer projections on any sport that you watch. Of course, that includes the NBA as well as the NFL. MLB, once we get into baseball season, we're close. The NHL, college sports, and on and on and on. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It really is that easy. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, they'll give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, Wolves Nuggets round four on Tuesday night in Denver. Of course, Denver didn't play four of their five starters on Sunday, and the Wolves won by 30. The time before that, back in mid-January, the Timberwolves lost a close game by 4 to the Nuggets, and the Wolves actually won the first matchup between the two teams back on January 2nd. So they didn't play at all before the new year. They've already played 3 times in the last 5 weeks. The Wolves have won 2. So not that the Wolves and Nuggets will end up like tied at the end of the season. I mean, I guess they're within 8 games of each other at this point, 9 games of each other. But it'd be nice to win 3 out of 4 in the season series against a divisional opponent. And there's, you know, something of a admittedly one-sided in the sense that Denver has had all the overall regular season of playoff success, but a little bit of a rivalry between Kat and Jokic. Of course, now Connolly and the Nuggets, Ryan Saunders and David Adelman both on the bench in Denver. The Wolves have Austin Rivers. They have Bryn Forbes, you know, former Nuggets on the team. So there's a lot, you know, these organizations, there's a lot of similarities. And I'd actually talked about this a couple years ago, written a piece back when I wrote and edited for Dunking with Wolves about how the Nuggets built their team. This is well before Connolly came to Minnesota, through second round draft picks and through trades. And very rarely were the Nuggets signing these, you know, free agent names. And that was, to me, the right way for a market like Denver to build a team, which is, of course, maybe not so surprisingly why Connolly, the Wolves, did what they did to try and get Connolly to Minnesota. Anyway, the matchup between the Wolves and the Nuggets, the key for me in this game, if you look at the games the Wolves already played against the Nuggets prior to Sunday, which we can throw out because Denver was missing 4 starters, the Wolves win way back at the beginning of January. That was just Anthony Edwards having a high usage game, being effective, getting into the paint. He only made 3 threes in that game, but he was good in the paint. The Wolves made Jokic's life difficult. They forced him to turn it over 5 times. They actually did do a pretty good job of keeping him off the glass. He only had 7 boards in that game. And nobody besides, remember Bones Highland got really hot from 3. That was kind of it for Denver offensively. Like, the Wolves did a pretty good job on defense. They held the Nuggets to 38% from 3. They're the league's best 3-point shooting team by percentage. So that's, you know, a pretty strong feat. They shoot about 40% from 3 for the season overall. And then in addition to Ant, the Wolves, actually Jalen Noel, that was the only game Noel started all season. He had 17 points in that game. The Wolves also got 19 points and 8 assists from Kyle Anderson. Gobert had a quiet game. Then in the game, the Wolves lost to the Nuggets, a 4-point game in Denver. Jokic had 31, 13, and 11, turned into triple-double. Jamal Murray went off in that game. Bruce Brown had a really good game off the bench for them. And for Minnesota, nobody scored more than 18 points. Anthony Edwards had 16 and 9 rebounds. Jaden McDaniels had 18. He led the team in scoring. They did get 19 points off the bench from Luka Garza. But in that game, the Nuggets kind of, like, turnovers were a big issue for Minnesota. They turned it over 17 times, and Denver controlled the paint. It was, you know, oh, Rudy Gobert missed that game too, I should mention. Like, Nas started and played well, but was in foul trouble quite a bit, and that opened the door for Garza to have a good game. But no Gobert, and the Wolves lose that game. Now, this last time out, again, we can throw it out for the most part because of the lack of players that the Nuggets had, but Gobert played really well when he was in the game, when he wasn't in foul trouble. He had 16 and 8. The Wolves' backup bigs, both Naz Reid and Nate Knight, played really well on Sunday. So the Wolves kind of flipped the script in terms of the paint. But with Jokic on the floor Tuesday, that's a major concern. Gobert is on the injury report as questionable with the groin injury. Of course, he's played more often than not of late. Same with Kyle Anderson, but they need both of those guys if they're going to defend the paint, if they're going to challenge the Nuggets at the rim, if they're going to clog passing lanes, etc. The Nuggets, by volume, don't shoot a ton of threes. They're only 23rd in three-point attempt rate in the league, but they're number one in percentage. They shoot, again, just a hair under 40% as a team from three, so they pick their spots. And a lot of this is playing off of Jokic, both from the perimeter, from kind of the high post, free throw line extended, him just kind of facilitating, finding cutters, finding open shooters, and, you know, grabbing offensive rebounds and flinging them out to the perimeter. And with Jokic in the game, I mean, he averages a couple of offensive rebounds per game. He's the, you know, also Aaron Gordon didn't play on Sunday, but he's also a primary offensive rebounder for them. And the Nuggets get a ton of baskets off of those rebounds and kickouts for open threes. They don't play at a super fast pace, but if the Wolves give up too many second chance opportunities, Tuesday could be a really long night. Of course, Denver's really good at home as well. They've only lost 4 times at home all season long. So a challenge for Minnesota. Again, 3 guys listed as questionable: Gobert, Kyle Anderson, and who's the 3rd questionable player? Gobert, Kyle Anderson. I think Jordan McLaughlin's also listed as questionable, even though, of course, he played last time out. But a winnable game for Minnesota still, because they played Denver so well this year. It's just all about, can Gobert give Jokic a tough time? Can the Wolves do enough on the defensive glass to keep the Nuggets, who are 12th in offensive rebound rate and a great three-point shooting team, keep them off the glass? And can the Wolves speed the Nuggets up to play at their pace? Minnesota's been a little bit better lately in terms of playing in transition. The turnover issues have been pretty up and down, admittedly, but have still generally improved over where they were earlier this season. And, of course, that's going to be big against a disciplined team like Denver as well. We'll, of course, go live for the postcast following Wolves Nuggets on Tuesday, myself and Marnie Gellner from Bally Sports North, about 45 minutes after the game. It's an 8 p.m. Central tip, so we'll call it about 11:15 or so that we'll go live on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe to that to be notified when we go live, and then I'll also post the audio from that conversation on the Locked On Wolves audio feeds after the fact. Of course, you can listen on any of your favorite platforms. You can watch on YouTube as well. You can also watch this show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now, make your second listen the Game to Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.